again. We seem to have that echo back again for some unknown reason. That's better. Glory to God. That's good, Graham. Wonderful. We don't want to be in the echo chamber. Praise God. Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Hello. Hello. Well, God's not looking for echoes, he's looking for voices. John the Baptist was a voice, not an echo. Hallelujah. Where's David? Oh, there he is. He's on that side. He's changed sides today. Yes. Yeah, well, you were over here the other night, David. Glory to God. We enjoy David's freedom and liberty. Would to God that we could all be so free. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Acts 10, verses 34 through 38. Jesus, our Savior, is also our anointed healer. We dealt with that God himself has declared himself to be our healer. And he made a statute and an ordinance for divine healing, and it has never been repealed. It is still on the statute books. Amen. And the legislature is out of session. Jesus, our Savior, is also our anointed healer. Anyone studying the four Gospels and the book of the Acts of the Apostles is immediately challenged with the numerous miraculous healings that are recorded in them. Not once was sickness or disease treated as a blessing from God, but on the contrary, was determined as the work of the devil and treated as such. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. This is the introduction to Peter's sermon. In the household of Cornelius, the Roman centurion in Caesarea, which was the capital of the Roman capital in Judea at the time of Christ and afterwards. Caesarea is a wonderful place to visit. The amphitheater is still there, wonderful acoustics. And here we are in this small chamber, and we're using microphones and a speaking system. But in the amphitheater in Caesarea, you can whisper and hear it in the top gallery, clearly and distinctly. I shall be giving you information this coming week on our trip to our tour to Israel in November the 8th. Through the 15th, or coming and returning on the 15th. That's 9 days altogether, 7 days in Israel. And from Heathrow, it is roughly £700. That includes your round-trip airfare, all hotels, two meals a day, plus all the tours. Now, you can't beat that price. Glory to God. So start saving up your bobbies. Glory to Jesus. Plan to come. I'm talking your pastor into it and his dear wife. Glory to God. That wasn't a very enthusiastic smile, Sister Grace. Pardon?
She remembers the Egyptian trip.
Well, we won't be in Egypt. Hallelujah. We'll be in the Holy Land, the fun land. And the Israelis are a trip. I mean, you can have a lot of fun with the Israelis. And they're very friendly, very outgoing people. Somebody says, well, what about the bombing? You won't be anywhere near a bombing. I was there just after September the 11th, and you wouldn't know a thing was going on. The sense of peace and security when you arrive on the land, and my sugars dropped down to normal the next morning and stayed normal the whole while time I was in the land, Geraldine. And didn't go up again until after I left. There is healing in the land. It is the land of Jesus and the disciples. Glory to God. It is the land of Paul. It is the land, hallelujah, of Mary. It's the land of Joseph. It is the Holy Land. And we'll be having a baptismal service in the River Jordan. And it's an amazing thing that people who don't believe in rebaptism baptized when they hit the Jordan River. So we'll be having a wonderful baptism performing that. While you don't have to worry about bringing robes or towels. And some of you, I think, have heard of Benny Hinn. Well, Benny Hinn usually takes 500 people and has a baptismal service. Now, they've only got enough gowns and towels and everything for 120. So what they do, they have the laundry going all the time, and while he's doing it one group, everything's going through the laundry and the dryers and the towels and everything. So the next group are getting ready to come on in. And Benny Hinn, by the way, was born in Bethlehem. And they'll show you the school where he went to. He's of Greek Arab descent, Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, although went to a Roman Catholic school in Bethlehem. And when we're in Bethlehem, they'll show you the school where Benny Hinn went. Now, no Christian tour group has ever been bombed by the Palestinians yet, or anybody else, because if they did, they know that they would lose world approval, and you will feel safe. The food is absolutely wonderful. We'll be staying in 5-star hotels. Glory to God, you get used to some luxury on a grand scale. Glory to God. And we'll be visiting all kinds of places. I'll have the schedule. I've got it here with me, and we'll have copies printed off for you. And now, I don't make any money from this. When they asked me, they said, we've got 60-odd people already signed up from the Bible school in Pastor Bill Traylor's church in Willis, Texas. And they asked me at World Express Travel, that's a Jewish travel agency that we use and go through, now, what commissions do you want? I said, I don't want any commissions. I'm doing this because I love Israel. All I ask is one favor. And they said, what is that? That I travel in business class from Newark to Tel Aviv. Oh, no problem. So that means I'll go from Sacramento to Newark first class, because they have 2 classes, they don't have 3. And then I'll travel from Tel Aviv to, and we will liaise, we'll all meet up in Tel Aviv. You'll fly Heathrow or Manchester, I don't know where, out of one of those cities to Tel Aviv. Now, we don't want you to do the Pope's act when he went to the Holy Land, got down on his knees and kissed the ground. You don't have to do that. There's no special indulgences for that. Glory to God. Okay, we do have a video with us, but the soundtrack, there was a copy made from the original, and the soundtrack isn't that good. It may be better here, but is there any way we can show that here, Pastor? He's thinking. He's nodding his head. That's a good sign. I've known him for over 20 years now, so hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 10, reading verse 34. And before we do, let's pray our prayer aloud after me. You may keep your eyes open or close them if you like. Now, the only reason I close my eyes sometimes when I pray is because some people, they've got mean looks on their faces. I don't want to watch that. But you don't have mean looks on your faces. You are the beautiful people. Hallelujah. You can smile and show them your teeth or your gums, whichever you please. Now, my mother-in-law, when she turned 100, of course, everybody was there. She got a telegram from the Queen and Prince Philip. And I don't know whether you were there when this happened, when the mayor came. No. Andrew was there for some of the celebrations. But the mayor of Davis turned up. And she was sitting in her chair, and he was there to read a proclamation declaring that day to be the Florence Fleming Memorial Day. And so he was reading this proclamation out aloud, and we had the press there, and we had the TV news crews, and you couldn't get her to smile. She wouldn't smile. Finally, Muriel, my wife, said to her, "Mum, smile. Mum, smile. Mum, show them your teeth." Well, the mayor came after this. So he's reading out the proclamation in his pompous voice, you know. "And whereas Florence Louise Fleming became a resident of the city of Davis, March 20th, 1970, worst thing I ever did," she comes out with. And the he nearly dropped his teeth. Glory to God. So, praise the Lord. So let's lift our hands to heaven and pray aloud after me. O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy word, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And our women too. We mustn't leave the women out. Praise God. Okay, Acts 10, reading verse 34, Peter's sermon to Cornelius and his household. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He had to learn that, and he learned it the hard way by having a recurring nightmare. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, God doesn't love Ron Cody more than he loves you. He loves us equally. He has no favorites. There are no favorite dispensations. Hello? No favorite places. No favorite people. We're all favorites. Every place, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, said the psalmist. God is no respecter of persons. Number one, God loves you equally as he loves me. You're not, in fact, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Wow. "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation," that includes Great Britain, "he or she that feareth him," that word fear means to reverence him, "and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." And what was it they knew? How? That God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I have news for you, Jesus Christ is still anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He hasn't lost it because he ascended into heaven. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all." Everybody say all. Not just a few people. Not just the favorites. Because God doesn't have any. "Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Jesus looked upon sickness and disease as the oppression of the devil. not a blessing from God in disguise. Hello? We've got to get you delivered from modern day heresies that is proclaimed from our evangelical pulpits. That it's God's will for some people to be sick. Well, you can't give me one scripture for that. Jesus looked upon sickness and disease as the work of the devil, as the oppression of the devil, and God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power for one specific purpose, to go about and do good and heal men and women from their oppression of the devil. Oh, come on, saints. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, David, give me a good hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Now, it is also important to know that Jesus is also unchangeable. His glorious ascension to the right hand of the Father has not modified him or his purposes for you and me. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Paul's letter to the Hebrews chapter 13. Reading verses 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule, or actually which are your guides. God is not, there's only one man God has ever ordained to rule over you and me, and he has nail scars in his hands and his feet and a spear wound in his side.
Amen.
You are not somebody's property.
Amen.
You are his property.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Glorious.
Pastor Andrew is not your ruler, he's your guide. And those elders that labor with him are guides together with him, guiding you and keeping you in God's pathway, leading you into green pastures where you can feed, causing you to lie down beside waters of refreshment where you may drink to the full, and leading you and spreading a table before you with Holy Ghost wine, where you can get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you'll never get drunk by sipping. You really got to chug a lug. You really got to bend that elbow and gulp and slurp it up. Glory to God. That won't do it. We all need a Holy Ghost aperitif. Amen. A good French word. Your pastor learned it while he was in France. Okay. Let's come back to that verse. Remember them. Remember is a covenant word. Glory to God. Which are your guides who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I want you to follow my faith. You are to follow his faith and the elders who labor with him, their faith. We are examples of how to believe God. You're allowed to say praise the,
praise the Lord.
If you don't know how to believe God, look at us. And we'll show you, not merely tell you, but we will show you how to believe. Wow. That's potent preaching. That's good preaching. Mm-hmm. Brother Cody. Yes, I know. Hallelujah. But of course, God isn't impressed by my preaching. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's not a powwow. The word conversation in the King James Version is simply lifestyle. You are to consider the outcome of our lifestyle. For our lifestyles are a lifestyle of faith. Glory to God. Considering the end of their lifestyle, which is Jesus Christ. The end of our lifestyle is Jesus Christ. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He's got the first word and he's going to have the last word.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Mother, I hear you. Don't digress. I was about to digress. And I can hear Sister Cody saying to me, Dad, get on with the message. Don't digress. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, what he was yesterday and today, he is today. And forever. Two words. Not one word. Forever. We used to sing the old hymn, yesterday, today, forever Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Dear old A.B. Simpson, he used to write a hymn for every sermon he preached. You need to get hold of his two volumes on the Holy Spirit. They're not big volumes, they're very simple. The Holy Spirit through in every book of the Bible, from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. Wonderful. He founded the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, which is a very large denomination in America. He is one of the forerunners of divine healing, living in the early part of the 18th century. I should say the 19th century, the 1800s. And he was contemporary with some great preachers of that day. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The third thing we need to know is that on the cross, Jesus made atonement for our sins. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. I'm glad I'm here in Britain and can say Isaiah. When I'm in the States and say Isaiah, they look at me with a funny look. My valet. The book of Isaiah. In America, they say Isaiah. Well, I say to them, you don't say Jeremiah. Say Jeremiah. Well, they say it is spelt differently. Well, okay, you don't say Micaiah, you say Micaiah, and that's spelled exactly the same way. Why don't you be consistent? We get cheeky. And that's a word they don't understand. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. What a wonderful chapter. This is called the Great Atonement chapter of the Bible. And here the prophet, he starts off in verse 1, who hath believed our report? Paul quotes that scripture in Romans chapter 10. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is revealed to those who believe the report. And the report is the gospel, according to Paul in Romans chapter 10. Let's read verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Your margin will have sickness. And I think Philip, in your amplified Bible there, just look at it and you'll find that he is acquainted with grief, and in your amplified it'll have grief and then it'll have sickness, correct?
Yes.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yes.
That's a yes.
Yes.
Good, hallelujah. He is not only acquainted with your grief, and by the way, grief is a killer. Grief will kill you. Grieving will kill you. And Jesus is acquainted with your grief and also your sickness. Grief will cause you to be sick. It'll cause you to get sick in your body and in your mind, in your spirit. A broken spirit, who can bear? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, sickness, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He didn't hide his face from us. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. First of all, he's acquainted with our grief. And then he bears our griefs and our sorrows. Would you read that first part of verse 4 in the Amplified for us, Philip? Just stand up and read it to the class in a loud voice.
Surely he hath borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses.
Speak up, Philip, please. Yes.
Surely he hath borne our griefs,
sicknesses,
weaknesses,
distresses,
and has carried our sorrows and pains.
Carried our sorrows and pains.
Punishment.
Pardon?
Of punishment.
Our punishment.
Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken.
Smitten and afflicted by God, and he was. Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Thank you. Surely he hath borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our distresses, carried our sorrows and pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, or the chastisement, of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Oh, glory to God. Read that last part of that verse in the Amplified, with his stripes.
And with his stripes, that wounded him, we are healed and made whole.
And with his stripes, what was after his stripes?
He said that wounded.
That wounded.
Yeah. That wounded him.
We are healed and made whole. Somebody say praise the Lord. Say, I am made whole. Oh, how can people not believe that healing is in the atonement? Glory to God. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 2:24. Peter's first letter. You know, Peter was the first pope. He had a wife and a mother-in-law. And how can the pope say he is the successor of Peter and he doesn't have a wife that we know of? Or a mother-in-law. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading verse 24, Peter is quoting now from the same text, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah says, you are healed in the present tense. But Peter now, looking back to the cross, the prophet was anticipating Calvary. He's looking forward to it. But now Peter is looking back at it. And he's saying, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed, honey, 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And all you have to do, and all I have to do, is just receive it. Amen. Our heartaches, our sorrows, our afflictions, our sufferings, our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains, all we have to do is receive the remedy. On the cross, three things happened. The first thing that happened is Jesus was made sin with our sin. That's why I don't have to bear my sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading verse 21. For he, that is God, the Father, hath made him, that is Jesus, to be. The word to be is in italics. That means it's not in the Greek, so we'll read it without the italics. For he hath made him sin for us. Not only did Jesus bear our sins, but on the cross he was actually made your sin and my sin and was judged for it. He became you and me. He was made sin with your sin and my sin, with the sin of every man, woman, boy and girl in the world. Wow. Why? He was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, God's righteousness. He was actually made sin with your sin and my sin, and now you and I are not only justified, declared righteous, pronounced righteous, we are made righteous. We are made God's righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah! You are as righteous as God is righteous right at this moment. You may not feel it. What you feel is a fact, but it ain't the truth. The truth is that you are as righteous as God is righteous. And so you start working on the facts to make them agree with the truth. Hello? Now, you weren't saved and filled with the Holy Ghost to keep the law of Moses. I've just finished reading a book, and it's got us keeping the law of Moses in the so-called millennium. Dear God, Jesus abolished it. Jesus fulfilled it. He fulfilled it for you and me. And he merited righteousness. He's the only human being on earth that merited righteousness that the law promised. And he didn't need it, because he was righteous. He was the sinless one who was made sin on the cross. But he earned the righteousness that the law promised. He merited it for you and me. Wow. Wow. And you see, when you believe that, when you believe that you are doubly righteous, that you have the righteousness of the law, and the law can't find any fault with you, and you have the righteousness of God, glory to God, faith has no difficulty. You won't have any difficulty in believing God and his word. Okay. He was made sin with our sin on the cross. The second thing, he was made sick with our sicknesses and our diseases. Isaiah 53 verse 10, and we'll get Brother Philip in a moment just to stand up and read it in the Amplified version. If you don't have an Amplified, you should get one. You can order them through Harvest Fields. Glory to God. They'll give you a good deal. Isaiah 53 verse 10. I remember many years ago, there was a brethren doctor, and he'd been attacking divine healing in David Duplessis in the city of Nelson where I resided. I was away when he had his meeting, but I took the same hall and preached on divine healing defending it. And he turned up to that meeting. The hall was packed. And of course, one of the things I advertised in the newspaper was, modern day brethren, are they practicing there's not an embarrassing bone in that boy's body. Where was I? We were preaching on divine healing, and he came to my meeting, and the hall was packed with Plymouth Brethren. Because in America they wouldn't know what Plymouth Brethren are. I've never heard of them. And that's a British anomaly. And so anyhow, he got up and began interrupting me, and so I said to him, Doctor, you are a medical man, and you are a gentleman. Why are you acting so rudely? When I have finished, you may ask your questions then. But please let me finish. Because the Bible says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, to him it is shame and folly. Well, he sat down. He waited till I finished, and then he got on to me. And I had this text, Isaiah 53, verse 10. Would you please read it, first of all, Philip, in the King James Version? Stand up and address the class.
It's my holiday. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief.
Good, just stop there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Yes? Is that it?
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin.
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, that's you and me, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Is that it?
Yeah.
Now, please read the first part in the Amplified Version.
Yet it was the will of God to bruise him.
Pardon?
Yet it was the will of God to bruise him.
It was the will of God to bruise him. Yes.
He has put him to grief.
Yes.
And made him sick.
He hath put him to grief and made him sick. The Hebrew literally is, he hath made him sick. Now when I quoted that to the doctor, thank you, Brother Philip, Elder Philip, when I quoted that to the good doctor, his mouth dropped open because I quoted it to him in the Hebrew. And he knew Hebrew, and his mouth dropped open. And he came to me after the meeting and we got into further discussions on it. He said, there is no way I can get around that text. The Lord hath made it pleased the Lord to make him sick. Where? On the cross. Because Jesus was never sick during his lifetime. The only place he was made sick was on the cross, with your sicknesses and my sicknesses. He not only was acquainted with sickness, he not only bare our sicknesses, he was literally made sick with our sicknesses, just as he was made sin with our sin. For what purpose? That we might be healed, that we might be made whole. You know what that doctor said to me? He said, if you're right and I'm wrong, I'm on my way to hell. I said to him, Doctor, you said that, I didn't. I don't know what happened to him. I know he's dead now, and he's gone to his eternal reward, wherever that may be. But for years he had attacked the Pentecostal people. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, he used to publicly say, was a baptism of devils. Speaking in tongues was demonic. divine healing was a subterfuge of the devil. And people looked upon him as the authority in these things. You know, he was never invited back by the Plymouth Brethren to Nelson again. The people, the Plymouth Brethren people that night walked out of that hall like dogs with their tails between their legs. They were ashamed. And the believers were rejoicing. Hallelujah. Okay. He was made sick with our sicknesses. The third thing that he was made on the cross was the curse. Turn with me to Galatians 3:13. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians is one of the most wonderful epistles in the Bible. It is the prelude to Romans. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord. He was made the curse of the law for you and me. He became the curse. Literally became it when he hung on Calvary's tree. The curse of the law is enumerated in Deuteronomy verses 15 through 62. We are certainly not going to read all those verses, but I want you, when you go home this evening, to turn to those verses and read them and see what you're redeemed from. I'm just going to read a couple of those verses to you to give you a taste of your redemption. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28. It's a very long chapter in the Bible. And here in chapter 28, after he enumerates the blessings, glory to God. I'm in the wrong book. No wonder I can't find it. Here we are. He enumerates the blessings in verses 1 through 14. And verse 15, now till the end of the chapter, he's dealing with the curse. Cursed, 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 over and over like a broken record. Talk about the law of teaching being repetition. This is repetitious. Wow. I'm coming down to, well, let me go to verse 45, first of all. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, if you don't serve God the way he wants to be served, and that word serve is the same word translated worship, if you don't serve him with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, thou shalt serve thine enemies. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. For he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. It's getting quiet because you're thinking. And that's exactly what we want you to do. God wants to be served, and he wants you and me to serve him with joyfulness of heart and gladness of heart. Amen. Glory to God. He wants us to dance before him. Amen. He wants us to march. He wants us to clap our hands. He wants us to leap for joy. Glory to God. He wants us to shout. Praise God forever. He wants us to sing. Hallelujah. He wants us to enjoy him and to enjoy ourselves. I was in a meeting one time in Canada, and a man asked me at the end of the service, "Well, Bishop, how did you enjoy it?" I said, "I really enjoyed myself." He said, "Oh, no, you should say, I enjoyed the Lord." I said, "I enjoyed Him too. But I enjoy myself. You know, outside of God, I am my own best company. I like me." You'll never love your neighbor as yourself until you learn to like yourself and love yourself. We're not talking about self-centered love. We're talking about loving yourself because you're made in the image of God. Look at yourself in the mirror when you go home, or tomorrow morning, or when you're in the ladies' room, and say, "Hey, you in there, I love you." And reply back, "Yes, I know, I love you too. Hallelujah." Glory to God. Say, "You're beautiful." Doesn't matter what the people out in the street think. They're not paying you rent. Glory to God. Amen. Everything is beautiful. Everything is fine. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. I'd love to get let loose in that verse. In hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and everything that says there, the yoke on your neck, Jesus endured at the cross till he rose from the dead. He hungered, he thirsted. They put a yoke, the cross, on his shoulders, and he bare it. Oh, dear saints, today, all because he loved you and me, I'm looking forward to seeing the Passion of Christ, the last 12 hours in the life of Christ, Mel Gibson's Passion, which is being released on the 16th of this month, I believe, in the States, because I'll wait till the crowds die down. It's going to be packed. All the bad publicity he's had is good publicity. It just makes people want to go and see the movie. And because the prices will be sky high, I'll go to a matinee when I'll get in for half price, being a senior. Oh, you've got to learn to use your, you know. Hallelujah. Turn with me to verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses of long continuances. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of. They shall cleave unto thee, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now that's the curse. And Christ hath redeemed us from this curse. When I read this chapter, when it's in my daily reading, and I read this chapter after every curse, I say, Christ hath redeemed Ron Cody from this curse. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Good. Put your name in there. God hath redeemed Andy from this curse. God hath redeemed David from this curse. God has redeemed Noreen from this curse. God hath redeemed Josie from this curse. God hath redeemed Joan from this curse. God hath redeemed Ken from this curse. God hath redeemed Geraldine from this curse. Every sickness that's not written in the book. So that includes them all. Amen?
Amen.
All the ones they never heard of, the Nile flu, which we have in the States, the Nile disease it's called. You can only get it from birds that come from the Nile. Where on earth did they come from? I believe they were deliberately brought in, smuggled in and let loose, and there's no cure for it. We're living in perilous times. But he said, I am the Lord thy physician. Somebody say, praise God. I'm glad I'm a believer. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we're against medical healing. I believe in getting healed by whatever means, be it medical, Chinese herbal, or whatever, I'll take the lot. It's my right. And it's your right. It's more than a privilege, it's your right. Hallelujah, purchased for you on Calvary. So Jesus was made sin with our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sickness with our diseases on the cross, that we might be healed in him. And he was made the curse for us, hallelujah, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, I want to look at one other curse, which is found in Genesis chapter 3. I'm almost through. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17. By the way, the first thing that God cursed was the serpent. Satan starts out in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, and he ends up in the book of Revelation as a dragon. God never made him a dragon. Pop the magic dragon down by the sea. We made him into the dragon. We have so magnified the devil down through the ages that he ends up as a dragon. But he's still just an old garden snake. Hallelujah. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. God cursed the devil, cursed the serpent. And in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it, cursed is the ground. Hello. God never put a curse on the man or the woman. Never. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Thorns, the fruit of the curse. And when Jesus was in Pilate's hall, he was handed over to the soldiers, and they crowned him. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. He's bearing the fruit of the cursed ground in his body to the tree. Tell me, what colour is the thistle? Any Scotsman here? They'll know. What colour is it?
Purple.
Thank you. And when Jesus comes forth wearing the crown of thorns, he's clothed in what kind of colour garment? A purple garment. They put a purple robe on him. He's bearing the fruit of the curse for you and for me. You have a right to see your flowers and your vegetables blessed in your little garden plot. Okay. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Read the account of the agony in the garden from Luke, the 23rd chapter. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane it says, and he being in an agony prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became what? Huh? What did it become? Drops of blood falling down to the ground. The sweat of his brow, that bloody sweat. The agony that he was going through in the garden was so great. This is a scientific fact. that his sweat was blood. Coming out of his eyes, coming out of his forehead, falling down onto the ground, redeeming the ground from the Adamic curse. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You should have the best daffodils, the best roses, the white rose of York. You should have the best flowers, the best vegetables in your garden. I knew a man, I stayed in his home way up on the borders of Queensland and New South Wales, and his spinach was as high as this pulpit. His hens laid twice a day and never molted. The vegetables, carrots. If you want to see this in modern days, in a town in Guatemala where the whole town, the jails have now been closed because everybody in the town is saved, but God has blessed the earth, they have leeks as tall as this pulpit, and you see the cauliflowers as round as the top of this podium. You need to get it. It's called Transformations. It's a Christian video. Four jails, not one of them being used. They're now museums. And the chief of police says, I have nothing to do. There are no criminals. Don't you want to see that for Doncaster? He's no respecter of persons or places. It's happened in Willis. Now, the mayor is a Christian. All started after they saw that movie, that video. You see, God has called you, Pastor dear, not to be a pastor of this congregation in Doncaster, but God has called you to be a pastor of Doncaster. So you go to the mayor and you say, how can we serve you? You go to the police and you find out what's the biggest crime element and what's the biggest crime that's being committed in this city, and you start praying for it. You start finding out how many police there are in the police force, and then each of you will adopt a policeman and you will pray for him every day. You will go to the high schools, the grammar schools, and you will find out and ask them what's the biggest problem amongst the students. We want to pray for it. You're serving the city. How can we be of service? Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to serve and give his life. Hallelujah. Guess what's going to happen to this church, like it's happened to Pastor Bill Traylor's church? It's packed. They have to bring in extra chairs every Sunday. Oh, saints, I want to tell you, get your vision big. God is as big as your thinking. Get your thinking big. Hallelujah. So you can see Doncaster become a city of God in the here and now, not waiting for some imaginary millennium. Forgive me, Father. Okay, I'm almost through. So Christ has redeemed us from the Adamic curse. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And how Christ has done a complete work for both the inner and the outer man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. I love the 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. And here he writes, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There is an outward man and there is an inward man. the inner man. Adam, by his fall, brought sin into our souls. The outer man, Adam, by the fall, brought sickness and disease into our bodies. The inner man, sin is the work of the devil in our souls and spirits. The scripture for that is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. You may read that at your leisure. Sickness is the work of the devil in our bodies. And the scripture you want to read is Luke chapter 13 verses 15 and 16. The woman in the synagogue for 18 years bowed down. She had spondylitis and arthritis of her spine, bowed over so she couldn't straighten herself up. And Jesus called it the work of the devil and healed her. The inner man on the cross, Christ bore our sins, Isaiah 53:6. The outer man on the cross, Jesus bore our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. The inner man on the cross, he became sin that we might be saved, 2 Corinthians 5:21. On the cross, he was made the curse for our healing, Galatians 3:13. The inner man, God forgives all our iniquities, Psalm 103 verse 3. The outer man, God heals all our diseases, Psalm 103 verse 3. The inner man, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53:5. The outer man, with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. The inner man, his blood was shed for the remission of our sins, Matthew 26 verse 28. The outer man, his body was beaten and flogged for our healing, Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah chapter 53 is called the Great Atonement chapter of the Bible. In verses 4 and 5 we are informed that on the cross Jesus atoned for 5 conditions of mankind. 1, our griefs, sicknesses. 2, our sorrows, our pains. 3, our transgressions. 4, our iniquities. And 5, our chastisement. It is our privilege to enjoy the accomplishment of the sacrifice he offered for us once and for all upon the cross. In a few moments we will be celebrating the table of the Lord. We will be celebrating what he did for us on Calvary. And we will be receiving the bread, eating the bread which is the communion of his body, broken for our healing. And we will be drinking of the cup of blessing, which is the communion of his blood, which was shed for our sins. Both the inner and the outer man are taken care of in this feast. This is the place for you to receive your healing today. As you eat that bread, thank God for healing you right now. Healing you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And if you're conscious of some failure, some transgression, some sin, then as you drink of the cup of blessing, the communion of his blood, thank him that you are washed and made clean, that you are the righteousness of God in him, that you are as righteous as God is righteous. Don't listen to your accusing conscience or the evil one. That's not the conviction of the Spirit. That's yourself accusing yourself. Tell yourself to shut up and listen to the word of God. Bless you, Pastor dear.